Hello and welcome to this emergency live podcast of the Albion Obsessed. We are here to discuss the breaking news that Roberto De Zerbi and Brighton Hove Albion have agreed to mutually end their relationship at the end of the season, which is tomorrow. Tomorrow is our last game of the season, and after tomorrow, De Zerbi will be gone. This is shocking news that has just broken in, the last half an hour or so. And as you can imagine, socials have gone mad for this. So if you are joining us live, please do drop some comments down. We would love to know your thoughts about it. I think, Joe, what is your immediate sort of reaction? How were you feeling when Aaron popped the news in the group chat?
Yeah, I saw it when the club tweeted it, and I thought it was a joke. And then I saw Aaron put it in the group chat, and I was like, shit, it's not a joke. This is happening. And I don't know why I'm on the podcast, because I'm speechless, mate. I really am. I don't know if that's naive of me to be speechless, to not expect that to have happened. Maybe I didn't expect it to happen this way. Maybe I didn't expect for the club to come out and say we've mutually agreed to end Roberto De Zerbi, possibly the best manager we'll ever have, contract. Just like that. So there's a lot to unpack. There's a lot to mull over. So that's what we're going to do today. So hello, live stream. Hello, Curtis. Hello, Aaron. Hello, Tom.
Yeah. And hello, Grant, who has popped his thoughts in there in the group, the comments section below. Gutted. Thought we would have him for one more season. Aaron, until you posted on the group chat, I didn't have a clue. And when I thought you were joking to start with. I was like, nah, this isn't real. What was your first initial reaction? Anger, sadness, gutted? What were you feeling?
Confusion. Very, very confused. It's just the timing just seems very odd. Very odd. And that's what caught me the most, really. I saw it and I sort of looked at my phone. I was like, funny. I was like, wait, hold on, what? I was like, okay. I was like, oh, it appears it's not a joke. Yeah, it's, I'm surprised at the timing, but I'm not surprised that it's happened. You know, I know that we'll go into a bit more detail during this, but yeah, I'm not surprised it's happened.
Yeah. How about you, Curtis? Were you surprised? Was it something that you sort of could see bubbling away in the background? I mean, it's been a rocky couple of months, I suppose you could say.
Picture this. I'm there eating my toasted focaccia for lunch, right? Lovely crunchy focaccia. Then I looked down at my phone. I had 80 odd messages, right? And I was like, excuse me, what the hell's going on? Just a quick scroll. Couldn't believe it. I'm in a bit of like, I was like, what is today? What's happened? You know, what's going on? Am I surprised by it? I thought that conversations between him and Tony might not go the way that he wanted it. And here we are. So,
yay. I was having such a nice day as well. Ollie number 9, my view is no doubt he is an unbelievable coach, but for me, his passion hasn't been the same. Even on the sidelines, the amount of passion seemed to have been dialed down. So I'm going to put in a bit of wild speculation now. Joanna saying there that she's absolutely gutted. I am too gutted. I do genuinely believe that De Zerbi is the best coach we've ever had. I think there's a lot of conversations around his, for want of a better phrase, perhaps his stubbornness in terms of the way he wants to play. And I think that's a very fair debate to have, but we're not going to have that anymore, seemingly. This is pure speculation, but for my two cents, Joe, De Zerbi came out, in the new year? He was very unhappy with our January transfer window business, seemingly. He said that he had identified in October the needs of the squad. And it seems that since January, he, as Ollie has said, the passion hasn't been there, the commitment hasn't been there. A lot of things in his presses about, I need to talk to Tony, I need to make sure our ambitions align. And it seems that those ambitions don't align. Now, my wild speculation theory is that these discussions being had between Tony Bloom, Paul Barber and Roberto De Zerbi A lot of it comes down to transfer business, and I don't think we're willing to, and I think there's a fair discussion that we, nor should we, break our investment model, our strategy model in regards to bringing players in. But I think De Zerbi is probably thinking, well, that doesn't align with his ambitions to perhaps push Brighton into the top four and challenging for Champions League. That's my theory. What do you think, Joe? Do you think this all stems back to that sort of dissatisfaction of De Zerbi's from January, or is it something completely different?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that haven't quite aligned with De Zerbi's ambition and the club's. I think the club's ambition is very much a long-term sort of thing, whereas they want to get in the right players for the right price and won't budge on that way of working, because it's worked thus far. I know we've had to sell a lot of key players, but we've made a lot of money to do so, and we do, you know, we are in a healthy position, and we don't have to sell anyone else really. So there was a lot of positive things that you could think, oh, this is what we could sell De Zerbi. We do have a lot of money to spend, but we're not going to spend it willy nilly. We're not going to go out and spend £80 million on a holding midfielder that's going to make sure that, you know, De Zerbi's happy. That's just not the case. Something that Paul Barber said at the fans forum whilst I was there was, we once fought to keep this club alive because of financial reasons. He doesn't want us. He and Tony Bloom would never put us fans in that position ever again. And that's why we're so strict with what we do in terms of bringing the right players in at the right price and selling big assets for big prices. So I think there's a lot of like needed stubbornness from Tony Bloom and Paul Barber to say, look, trust us. This is the best way forward for this football club if we want to be successful for years to come. Whereas I think maybe the Zerbi's success is, I want to get Brighton into the Champions League next season. And then I want us to go as far in the Champions League as possible. That, whilst it would be great fun at the time, wouldn't necessarily be sustainable for the future. And you've seen a lot of clubs that have had success that have just fallen down the footballing pyramid. They don't want that to happen to us again. They don't want us to be in that position. So, yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot of trust that we've got to put on Paul Barber and Tony Bloom right now, is to say, like, this is the best manager we've ever had, possibly could ever have, and we've made this huge call towards the end of the season. So, yeah, let's see.
See. I mean, Aaron, let's talk about previous managers then. I mean, Chrissy Houghton brought us up from the Championship, kept us up in the Premier League, and a lot of pundits and fans of other teams were very critical of when we let Chrissy Houghton go. And of course, not that long ago, Graham Potter was allowed to be approached by Chelsea. Brighton do tend to, you know, allow people to leave as and when their time is. Do you feel like this is a case of Bloom, Barber, etc., and De Zerbi not finding an agreement and alignment, and they've mutually decided to go? Or do you think this is more of a, there's the door, Roberto?
I reckon it's more of a there's a door, if I'm honest. I think at the end of the day, is the club needs to be sustainable for the next 15, 20 years, realistically, not just over 2-3 seasons. And with what Roberto wanted to do, it clearly was, we have money, why am I not spending it? And he clearly has got the arse, and it's, the conversations have gone downhill from that point, in my opinion. I think, in all honesty, I think the whole atmosphere, really, since he called Bloom out at the club, it's just felt a bit weird. Like, it's gone from being really passionate and really, like, enthusiastic. Obviously, injuries and results obviously impact that. But it's a bit like, well, okay, so, well, what do we do now then? Like, we're out of Europe. As soon as we lost 4-0 to Roma, it felt like our season was done. It was like, oh, okay, cool. I mean, we're out of Europe now, and now what? We're not, realistically, we weren't going to get Europe again. We had shitloads of injuries, which, you know, everybody has, but we just seem to have them to all our key players all at the same time, and long-term injuries as well. It's just, yeah, I feel like they just clashed heads, and here we are. Here we are.
Yeah, it's Joanna has put something in the comments that I want to come back to, Curtis. A lot of players have been very adamant that Roberto De Zerbi is a fantastic coach. Adam Lallana, who of course has played under Jurgen Klopp, won the Premier League, won the Champions League, called Roberto De Zerbi a genius. Do you think that with Roberto De Zerbi's departure, the club risks unsettling players who obviously admire him as a coach?
I mean, I hate to be this guy, but if that's the case, then they shouldn't be playing for us, because it's about playing for the club, not for a manager. But, you know, of course it's concerning, you know, but I trust the decisions moving forward. We just have to see how everything pans out, but I'd like to think the players want to play for the badge and not just for...
Yeah, I mean, you'd certainly want them to play for the badge and not the coach, but I think, you know, when there's a coach that has had such an impact, I mean, look at what he did for Solly March. I know March is obviously out injured, but he completely rejuvenated, or I say rejuvenated, maybe that's a bit strong, but March playing as a wing back
as well.
Yeah, I mean, and Pascal Gross, a player that towards the end of Potter's tenure wasn't getting any game time, really. So these players have, you know, turned up for De Zerbi, and they've been brilliant. I do think it's a potential risk. You just don't know, obviously, moving forward, what it's going to look like. And I think it's that unknown that is really quite worrying. Alfie saying in the comments, oh, we could be in trouble now. Joe, do you think that we could be in trouble? Is this perhaps a turning point in Brighton's Premier League story? Or is this just another opportunity to show the rest of the world that Bloom and Barber always have a contingency plan?
Mm. Yeah, it's another great opportunity to show that we can bounce back from anything, from losing anyone, and that no one person is bigger than the football club. But it's also a massive risk as well. And, you know, Tony Bloom's a professional gambler, so he's taking a huge gamble in not sort of aligning his ambitions with Roberto De Zerbi's. But I think it's one that will pay off. I think Bloom has won his gambles 9 times out of 10 with this football club. So I don't think we have many reasons to doubt him. I don't think we've got many reasons to doubt Paul Barber either. I think they've both worked together incredibly well to get this football club to where it is today. So I put full trust in them that they've got something lined up, and something will happen soon, and something will happen quick, because we've got a pre-season tour in Japan to look forward to. And there's a lot of things that need ironing out this summer if we want to continue to be that consistent top 10 Premier League club that Tony Bloom set out his goals to do so. Of course it's a massive risk. Of course it could end badly, and we could fall down the league and be in a relegation battle next season. Anything can happen. This is football. We know what league we're in. We know how tough it is. And we just got to hope and pray that the right move is made next and it works out for us. And if it doesn't, we'll still be here. We'll still be talking about it. We'll still be loving this club. So, in my opinion, whatever happens, we'll be there.
Certainly will do. Aaron, I suppose once I say silver lining is not the right word, because it is a gut punch, I suppose. One of the silver linings is, of course, everyone now gets to gossip and chat about who's going to come next. And I've already seen some tweets about the return of one manager. And of course, I am talking about Aaron. Sammy Hupia, is it time for the return of the underrated footballing genius that is Sammy Hupia?
Aaron's like, is that a serious question?
Well, I was gonna genuinely talk about the tweets that are saying about getting Potter back, but I thought, I don't know what would that make Aaron angrier, Hupia or Potter? So
Hupia gives me PTSD, is the honest answer to that one.
Oh, hey man, off, underrated genius. Underrated genius, Sammy Shapiro.
No. No, he is not. The worst thing is I can see it happening. And then we'll be playing with March, who's fucking left wing back, Matoma playing fucking inverted centre half and God knows what else. I hope not. It's just things like that, to me, would be a step backwards. And we're a progressive club that we don't go backwards. We can't afford to, I don't think. And funny enough, I've always had this conversation with one of my mates. He always keeps saying, you're going to be the new Southampton, the way we're carrying on. And I kind of get it, because there's only a certain sort of amount of times you can do the same thing. Buy cheap, sell young. Wait, what? Hold on. Been a long day. Buy cheap, sell high. It's only a certain amount of times you can do that. And with now, which would be what, we've had 3 managers in our Premier League history now, soon to be 4. You know, Southampton had a similar thing. And I hope we're not going to be the new Southampton, obviously. But I don't think we'll be in a relegation battle. I think we're too good for that. And that's not me being big-headed. I think the teams coming up aren't that great. And the teams around the bottom of the Premier League are also not that great either. So we should, in theory, be where we are this year. So I reckon we'll finish 13th. I reckon Bournemouth will win tomorrow and Palace will win tomorrow. And it wouldn't surprise me if we did finish there for the next couple of years.
Yeah, it's a tough one, because who knows how the squad are going to react tomorrow on the last day against Manchester United. Ollie's saying apparently there is a German manager who used to manage Liverpool who's available. Yeah, there's a couple of names that have been floating around. McKenna from Ipswich, Curtis, bring back Gus Poyet. Is he still coaching Greece national team? That's the last thing I heard.
I'm all right, Tom.
I'd rather have Steve Coppell back.
He's complicated. He's complicated.
Remember Steve Coppell. Mickey Adams for a third time.
Man, do it. So, there's a couple of names in the chat. Curtis, McKenna from Ipswich, Russell Martin from Southampton, who've got their playoff game. Liam Rossinia, who was recently released by Hull City. No. I mentioned Edwards from Luton, who are now relegated. Someone also mentioned Kompany as well. I know it's all speculation. Knutsen, who was supposedly the second choice after De Zerbi. Of course, I remember having that conversation with everyone a few years ago.
I haven't heard that name since then either.
Yeah. Exactly. That sort of doesn't bode well. Curtis, are any of these names jumping out at you at all? Would you like any of them, or would you sort of just have a complete unknown from the Bulgarian seventh tier that we've never heard
I know
of?
Who I want. If I had a sway, I would like to get Ruben Amarinth from Sporting. I quite like his style of play. He seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders. I just really like him. Who I'd like, but like, it's really tough. I wouldn't want one of like the newly promoted managers, especially not like Ipswich. That would feel a bit weird to take him from Ipswich. And I don't like, not a big fan of the Southampton manager, to be brutally honest. I don't see why we can't get another forward-thinking manager. You know, I don't know why we have to settle for a, you know, and all due respect, you know, like lower league managers. You know, I don't know why we have to settle for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think it's just in keeping with, I suppose, what people may perhaps perceive to be the club vision. Ollie saying Knutsen has been in for Ajax, Rangers, and the Celtic jobs this season. Been following his career since. He definitely suits Brighton and is still going very well. I mean, Ajax.
the thing is, sorry to butt in, Tom. The Celtic and Rangers jobs are basically like coaching League One. You could get in. Sammy Hupia could go up there and win a treble for 4 years in a row with Celtic, because it's them against the rest. So it doesn't particularly surprise, you know, if he, even if he's linked with those sort of jobs, that doesn't mean much to me personally.
No, and Ajax.
And that standard football has been shite. And Ajax has been a shit show all year. So I don't think that bodes particularly well. Obviously, if I was, I was surprised Potter didn't take the Ajax job. I thought he'd be in his element there, to be honest. But hey-ho, holding out for the national job. But I had a horrible thought there. Okay. Southgate and Brighton. Hell. Yeah. I just hear my dad go, shut up.
Yeah, if Southgate comes, I'm gone. I think, someone, Craig here, saying I'd take Potter back. No. It's a no from me. Sorry, Craig. I think out of all the managers that have sort of just been spitballed about, I mean, Liam Rossignol, some of his interviews, he's the sort of coach you'd want to run through a brick wall for. But then again, a lot of people, and perhaps rightly saying, I mean, I don't know enough about the situation there, but saying actually not getting Hull into the playoffs was a failure, considering the squad they had. Russell Martin, local lad, young, quite a progressive style of football, but was getting Southampton getting Southampton automatic promotion. Was that a failure? McKenna, I'd be more concerned about the fact that if he was willing to jump ship after just getting Ipswich back-to-back promotions, if he was willing to jump straight away, I would worry that he'd do exactly the same when a better opportunity presented itself if he came here. So for me, maybe Edwards, I've followed his career. I say followed. I like FGR. Forest Green Rovers, his coaching there was excellent. He got them to finish top of League Two, went on to Watford, obviously got the sack there because everyone gets the sack there, and then brought Luton Town up to the Premier League and has, to be fair to him, done not terribly. Everyone was saying that they'd beat Derby's record for the worst Premier League season ever. And yeah, I know that they are near the bottom with a pretty poor points total. You know, the magic number used to be 40.
Brashed us though.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's again, young, progressive manager, nice style of play. So he's one that I'd be a bit more inclined to go with. Someone mentioned Kompany, but I think, a lot of criticism of De Zerbi is about his stubbornness to adapt. I think Kompany playing his football, his brand of football with Burnley in the Premier League was suicide. So I'd be a bit sort of not overly happy with that. But hey ho, Joe. What names excite you? Is there any name that we haven't mentioned? I mean, Pep might be available, I suppose, if Man City charges get leveled against them. What do you reckon, mate?
Ten Hag? No, I'm joking. Don't shoot me. I don't know, mate, to be honest. I'm in one of those sort of headspaces where I can't think of anyone else. I can only think of Roberto and the fact that he's leaving, and just like I can't picture anyone else on that sideline managing the club. And it's weird because he's only been our manager for what, 18, 19 months, however long it's been. So I'm just really gutted. I wouldn't mind Rob Edwards. I would probably like to give him a go. I think I love how honest he is. I like him in his post-match interviews. Seems a very good man. Seems to have very good morals. I think morally it's a good fit for Brighton and Albion Football Club. But I don't know tactically. I think it's hard to tell, really, when you watch Luton and they've done really as good as they could have done with the resources they've had. But then it's like a struggle to watch a team struggling at the bottom. You can't really tell what their tactics would be like if you're given the weapons that Brighton and Albion could offer Rob Edwards. So I think it would just be a wait and see option with anyone that we get in, really. I think anyone's a big risk. There's not any names that really like shoot out to me that are like glaringly obvious. Grant saying Thomas Tuchel. I'm not sure.
I quite like the Stuttgart manager. It's another option. Stuttgart have been playing incredibly well. They have. I've been watching a few of their games, and
yeah,
quite exciting.
He might bring
that too. Yeah, but no, they've got quite an exciting way of playing, and I think he could be interesting. But how about I agree with what Joe was saying. It's difficult.
What's his facey? What's his facey from Leverkusen? He's done all right, hasn't he, this season?
The former Chavi Alonso,
I think. I've not heard of him before. He's done all right, though, hasn't he?
He was a okay footballer as well.
Was he? Oh, I didn't know that. I agree, Curtis, but he signed a new deal in March.
Boo.
Boo-hoo.
Solly March. Can I just say we've had near on like 50 viewers throughout this live stream. So big thank you to everyone who's joined us on the back of this news. And if you want to get involved, please do so using the live chat feature to the right of your screen. Someone saying up the Chels, you can get effed, mate.
Up the Chels.
Why are you forcing a rivalry, mate? We don't really care about you.
Billion-pound bottle jobs. Anyway, move on.
Club is washed, my
Thanks
friend.
For all that money. Aaron, I assume, Aaron, that you're going to the game tomorrow, yeah?
Si, senor.
How are you going to react at a full-time whistle when Roberto De Zerbi hopefully comes across to the north stand and claps you all?
Yeah, clap. I don't understand why we would do anything differently, I don't think. Like, yeah, it's not ended how we would want it to end, but at the end of the day, I think Jack Yarlin said it, all good things got to come to an end. Yeah, it's true.
Sorry, Adam. Forcing a rubber. You are literally on a Brighton and Hove Albion live stream, my friend.
This is literally what I was going to say.
Bit of self-awareness.
You've made your way to this stream to do that. So
thanks
I don't
to
know.
You.
I guarantee he's never stepped foot at Stamford Bridge in his life.
Listen, after this, you can go put your Manchester United shirt on and you can watch the game tomorrow with us. So.
What's the atmosphere going to be tomorrow? What reception does RDZ get? Clearly great for us, but he believes he's bigger than Brighton.
No, I don't think so.
I don't know. I disagree. I think he does. I think that's part of the issue.
I don't know if he thinks he's bigger.
Don't get me wrong. He obviously has ambition, which is absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. And yeah, I think his comments in the press in February whenever it was after January hasn't particularly helped his case, in my opinion. And it's not a lot of people have said this to me outside of who are Brighton fans said the same thing. He feels like he's put himself in the shop window by saying these comments. Basically, it's back me or lose me. And here we are. That's fine with me.
Yeah. Aaron, with that sort of mindset involved, back me or lose me, do you think that's fair? I think Roberto De Zerbi got us into the top six.
Yeah, but the thing is, you can't buy success when you're a team like Brighton. You can't. It's not possible. We can't compete with the riches of City, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And we have to spend the money wisely. You know, we have to. That's why I feel like he's got the arse when, yeah, we've got 120 odd million pounds or whatever as a profit. But, you know, we can't just go, all right, we'll spend 150 million pounds in the summer. And we'll just take a 70 million pound loss for next year's financial year. It doesn't work that way. If it doesn't work that way, it's not possible. We haven't got the funds for that. Well, I think if De Zerbi was at a bigger and richer club, he would just throw money everywhere and at it. And that's why I personally think he'll end up at someone like a Bayern or even United, because they have got funds. And they will just spunk money anyway. And the worst case scenario, someone Smashy Mirrors, I deserve it to Chelsea, question mark. Wouldn't surprise me either. Would not surprise me either. Not because he's chasing the money, because he'll know that if he goes, I want this player, they'll pay out for him. We're here, we haven't got the financial backing to do that at the end of the day. It's just money talks in whatever walk of life. Money talks, and if you're City, or if you're Brighton, or if you're Crawley, or if you're whoever, at the end of the day, if you've got a chance to do your job elsewhere for two or three times the money, why would you not consider going? Or why would, you know, it's really that simple. And that's why I think he, in his head, he thinks that, you know, why am I not getting back? I should be getting back. Why not? Because it's not as easy as that.
No.
And I think he wants it to be that easy, but it's just not going to be possible, in my opinion.
Yeah. I'm mega frustrated at the people that are saying that it's going to be like a toxic end, or like we should
end.
Like, I don't think it is.
To a certain degree, it is, because he told us less than 4 hours ago that he was looking forward to next year, looking forward to the future, according to Andy Naylor, and then 4 hours later he decided to go.
I don't know.
Like, I mean, like it's a bit like, well,
I think I'm over feeling negative towards people that leave our club. Like, I'm obviously the people that have wronged us, I'm fully like pissed off at them, and you know, have been. But I think with De Zerbi, I think he's going to leave with my utmost respect. I think I want to remember the good things that we achieved under him, and I want to remember the fact that he's given this club some unbelievable memories that will live with us forever, and being Europe and getting a top six finish last year. I don't think any Brighton fan in their wildest dreams ever believed that we could do that, and he gave us that belief. He push those players to the very end last season to achieve something so special. So I want to try and urge people to give him a warm reception tomorrow, and to give him a send-off that he deserves, because I would like him to go down in Albion history and to finally have someone we can look back on and go, do you remember Roberto De Zerbi? That was fucking great, wasn't it? I don't want it to end in a way that we're like, Sodger, fuck! Like,
I don't think it would be like that. I think him leaving compared to him leaving compared to Potter leaving is two very, very different things. Different things.
Yeah,
and I mean funny enough, actually, Stephen's got a point. I do remember this when we appointed him. That he doesn't stay at a club for that long, and you know, here we are again. Yeah. You know, we're back to where we were when Potter left. And yeah, look, he's done. I think he will go down as one of our best manager in Premier League history. That is for sure.
Yeah.
You know, without a shadow of a doubt. Hopefully, he won't be the only best manager in the Premier League we've had. Hopefully, whoever we get in next will do as well, if and hopefully better. You know, and that's the hope. And we thought this when Potter left, we thought we were doomed. And then we appointed a random Italian guy no one ever heard of, and he turned out to be some freaking football genius. So, you know, I think we have to. I can, if Bloom has done it for the reasons that I believe he's done it, then yeah, fair enough. But I not particularly too surprised. But if it's De Zerbi going, why am I not getting money? Why is this? Why? Blah blah blah. Then, yeah, I agree. So it must have happened between those two, the last 24 hours. Because there's no other reason for it to go to shit. There really isn't. And yeah, that's the annoying thing. We'll never know. We'll never know. Because, you know, I don't think we should do either. You know, because whatever happens between our club and the manager is between them two.
And it is. I think.
Go on, sorry. Tom. Go on, mate.
No, I was just going to say, you know, you mentioned about that obviously 48 hours ago, and I think it was just yesterday, Andy Naylor posted an article on The Athletic. And I can only imagine the last 24 hours, something, as you say, Aaron, has happened behind the scenes. And whether it was ultimately De Zerbi's decision, Bloom's decision, we won't ever know. And I think you're right, Aaron, we don't really have a right to know, I suppose. And it could be, as you say, Aaron, that maybe Bloom has gone, well, that's it, done. But we're not going to, because it's the last game tomorrow, we want people to say goodbye. So we're not going to leave on a sour note. It's just time to go.
Go our separate ways.
Yeah. I'd like to think it was that sort of mutual. And I can only imagine in the last 48 hours after those comments about looking forward to next season, more talks have gone on behind the scenes. And they've just realised that they're, strategies or their ambitions don't align, and I think that that's okay, because obviously Roberto De Zerbi, from a coaching perspective, will have very short-term goals, where, as I think you said earlier, Aaron, we've got very much long-term goals. Rossi, the Roma manager, he could be a good shout.
He could be good, but I feel like he could be very similar to De Zerbi. And
could you play him away?
Italian giants, yeah. Roma for Brighton. This is not going to happen, is it?
I think, no. This is why we have to go for unknowns, per se. Because we're not going to re-lure in the people who are at top, top-class European clubs. It's not going to happen. I mean, there was a list of free agents that BHA Harvey, I know he's not particularly everyone's cup of tea, put out, and it was like, you know, there's Zidane, Mourinho, Conte, etc. And I'm thinking, these are ones without clubs. These are ones without clubs at all. And I'm thinking, would you really want to take Conte? Would you really want to take Mourinho? Would you want to take Potter? It's like, there's no one out there I'd really go, yeah, give me. I mean, Zidane, yes, obviously, because it's fucking Zidane. But, you know, the rest of it, like, it doesn't really faze me. Like, it doesn't really excite me. I mean, that's where the problem is it's, I don't know, it's not sure. I think someone said it in the chat earlier that Klopp's assistant manager, he would have been good before he went to Linders, his name is Philip Linders or something like that. He looked like it would be quite a good fit. But hey, you know, time will tell. It's going to be, from what I would assume to be quite a quiet summer. It's now going to be a very interesting summer.
We don't do things easily, do we, Brighton and Hove Albion? We never have. I suspect we never will. Of course, we will, as best we can, keep you up to date with the developments and who might well be filling that role. The rumour mill and Brighton and Hove Albion don't necessarily go very well in hand, because you can never tell what's real and what isn't. I think Aaron has hit the nail on the head, though. If you are hoping for an established manager or coach of the sort of stature of a Mourinho, I think you'll most likely be disappointed. If you think De Zerbi's comments, which I found to be quite mild in January, if I'm honest, think they're bad, you're going to get a shock if we get someone like Mourinho in charge.
Yeah, so, go and watch the Conte at Spurs.
Yeah, the odds-on favourite at the moment is Kieran McKenna. There's Kieran McKenna, Vincent Kompany second, and a guy called Francesco Ferroli. I'm pretty sure he was actually mentioned in the chat earlier, actually. And then fourth on the list is Mr. Graham Potter. And then five is Ruben Amorim, or Amorim, I should say.
Ruben Amorim, so, that could do. That could be quite an interesting one. I think I can't. But again,
oh, shit, with Southgate is on that list. No, Jesus.
Ultimately, whatever the decision is, I'll support it and follow it, because it's just what we have to do as fans. And
unless and it's Southgate or Sam Allardyce,
and then I will. If that happens, I will return to the ocean. I just, in a way, it's kind of exciting, I suppose. You know, now it's De Zerbi has gone. That's it. That's done. You know, we can move on from that, because there was a lot of like, Will he stay? Won't he? And he's gone. So now, just we got to move on and think of the positives of what this can bring. And it's kind of exciting, kind of nerve wracking, but we'll just have to see how it pans out.
I absolutely love this quote from Craig about Southgate never coming to our game. So it'd be pretty difficult. I think you're right, Curtis, in a way that it's for the best that it's been announced early. So we don't get to sort of like late July, mid August, and then suddenly, bam, he's gone. It gives us a chance to get someone in through the door relatively quickly. And hopefully, I imagine the club, will appoint someone relatively quickly. I say relatively. I've got it. It must be Moyes. No. The club will want to move quickly, I imagine, to get the new and someone new through the door so that they get a full pre-season with the squad, because that's what the squad will need. I'll campaign for Knutsen because I think he's the perfect for us, but ultimately I'll support whoever comes in. If he's good enough for Bloom, he's good enough for me. Potter doesn't bring enough goals, plus second comings rarely yield. 100%. Yeah, I think after the sour way Potter left the club, I think it's too much water under the bridge. I don't think
we'll
like that.
Can we remember some good times and just go round the table and ask your favourite Roberto De Zerbi memory? Curtis, I'll start with you, mate.
There was a fair few. I might say the 4-1 Chelsea game was just incredible. That was fantastic. Yeah, that one definitely for me really sticks out, but there are so many.
Yeah, there are. Aaron?
Probably. I mean, that one, I think it's his first win in the Premier League against the newly formed scum, which is Chelsea. Which was nice. The Palace 4-1 was also good. Of 4-0, did they score?
It was 4-1. It was Mateta scored.
Yeah, and then obviously the European games. I mean, each of them were memorable in their own right because we were playing in Europe, for Christ's sake. So I missed the Marseille game. I was at work Christmas too, but that by all accounts was unreal. So it's lots to choose from. I mean, probably also Arsenal away at the end of last year, where you stopped them winning the title, just because I don't really like Arsenal, so that's always fun.
Tom?
There's been many moments, as the others have said. I've enjoyed his honesty in post-match games after years of, it is what it is, the lads gave everything. After years of that, it was just really nice to hear some honesty post-match. Of course, the Brighton are becoming a big team now. Big balls. That was a big push. But for me, the moment was in the Liverpool game, his first game. The way he celebrated, I think it was the third goal with his little De Zerbi stamp on. Mate, I just, from then I was hooked. He engaged me straight away. I was engaged from the off. And for a manager to do that, when it wasn't a win as well, I think that was when I knew that we were onto something. So for me, his first game, because I was hooked from that moment. And you can argue that it was still Graham Potter's team, his formation, but just the way he celebrated those goals was massive for me. So how about you, Joe? What was your moment?
Yeah, as you say, he's that sort of guy that just you endear to instantly, and I absolutely love him, and will continue to. I'll look back on all of the memories that we've had under the Zerbi with just fondness. The European game against Marseille was probably up there for me. But the thing that tops it, I think, would be that last-minute Alexis McAllister penalty against United. Just the fact that we'd had that heartbreak 2-3 weeks beforehand at Wembley, and it being penalties. And to score a penalty like that in the 99th minute was just it seemed right. And I'm not sure if the quote that followed that was "There is a God of football." I don't know if it was that game, but that quote as well And the fact that we link that quote to Roberto, I think for me, he is the god of football. I love him, and I wish him the best. And we'll be giving him a very, very warm reception tomorrow.
Yeah. It saddens me when we get comments like this. And of course, you are entitled to your opinion. I find it easy to think of the bad decisions he's made this season. There's been plenty. I think, no coach is infallible. People get things wrong. And I think De Zerbi has gotten things wrong this season. And we've been very sort of honest about that on this podcast. But I think considering he got us to finish in the top six last season and has got us challenging for the top 10 into the last 16 of Europe with the injury ravaged squad, I think that's got to be up there for, you know, some context. But hey-ho, that's just me. And I hope that those of you who are at the Amex tomorrow, I hope you do applaud him warmly. If nothing else, just for what he did last season, because nothing will ever top that for me. When I remember when we did that podcast after the final game last season, wasn't the final game, was it? It was after the Southampton game.
Yeah.
I was in tears because I couldn't believe what I was seeing. So that should completely nullify all the poor decisions he's made this season, because I know football doesn't stand still, but that will be one of the highlights of my Brighton supporting career. It could be the best as it ever gets. So, hey-ho. That's all there is to say, I suppose, lads, because we could sit here and speculate for the rest of the evening about who's going to replace Roberto De Zerbi, what this all means, and what really happened. I mean, the rumours are breaking already that actually it was an argument over biscuits that forced the departure, but more news when we receive it. So thank you, Joe, Curtis and Aaron, for jumping on at such short notice. Thank you, everyone in the comments who have joined us and had your say. Let's keep these conversations going over on X. So all that's left to say is if you're going tomorrow, enjoy it. It'll be the last time you see Roberto De Zerbi coach Brighton and Hove Albion. Let's give the lads a good send off. So from me and the rest of the team, it's been an absolute pleasure. We will see you again very shortly. Take care.